All right, great to have you back with us as we talk some more baseball here. And we bring in Mark Simon of Sports Info Solutions. Mark A. Simon says on Twitter, love talking ball with him. Mark, how are you today?
I'm good. I am ready to go. The stats don't sleep.
Really? Last night's game, unbelievable. I said it was, well, first of all, for me, every day now is like a playoff game. You go back and forth. Every game is important. The games change within the game. And last night, I thought it was kind of the it game for the Giants with two out, two strikes. Solano knocks one out like Mike Morse did against the Cardinals in 2014. And then a crazy way to end it with the pitcher batting and getting a sacrifice fly and a great slide by Crawford across the plate. That was last night's game. And first, let me get your thoughts on that, and we'll talk about the closers.
So that was bananas. Yeah, that was, and you know what? I think the thing that struck me was that when Solano came up with two outs in the ninth, I actually said to myself, you know, it is possible that he could hit a home run here. And then I saw the, you know, the slider, and it didn't look good those first couple strikes. And then he had the really good take. And I'm like, all right, there it is. If he throws his fastball or throws something up, maybe. But the thing is, it's not – the reason that it's funny is because it's not out of character for this team at all for something like that to have happened. That moment essentially was the whole season from the second game of the season on. And I thought that that was the really cool thing about it. Gausman's sack fly, too. So John did a really cool thing on his Instagram about the Gausman sacrifice fly. I won't spoil it, other than to tell you that it was only the second time in his career that Gausman had hit a fly ball to right field. And the first was in his second major league at bat.
Amazing. Amazing. Yep. You know, to run out of position players and have that presence of mind, 3-2 pitch, and you think maybe he's just going to stand there and just not hit into a double play.
Yep.
And he hit it, and Jock Peterson had a decent throw, but Crawford beat it to the plate. What about Will Smith? And, you know, when he came in the ninth inning, I said to myself, he has not been a lockdown closer for this ball club. He's given up a lot of home runs, and he certainly gave up one last night with two out. But what about Will Smith?
So I think the stat on him is something like in his last eight save chances, he's put at least one guy, he's either allowed a home run or he's put at least one guy on base somehow. And that, like, you want clean from your closer. Jake McGee gives you a lot of clean. Will Smith doesn't give you any clean at this point. And I feel like that's been true the entire year, whether it's watching highlights on Quick Pitch or watching him pitch against other teams or watching him pitch against the Giants. I'm surprised that he has survived the season in the closer role. And I think with Rodgers looking shaky too, it really feels to me like come October that the team with the closer who blows the least number of games in the ninth inning is going to win the World Series, because I don't know that anyone necessarily has a guy that they feel is trustworthy. Melanson might be the best of them, but St. Louis has had its share of bullpen troubles. Kenley's had his share of bullpen troubles. Will Smith, we just talked about it. Jake McGee might be the best bet in the National League at this point.
Well, I'll take Will Hader, Josh Hader.
But he has his moments too. You'd be surprised.
Yeah, I agree. Look, it's a great point, and I think if the Dodgers and Giants end up meeting in any of these rounds, Jansen versus the Giants is going to be a major part of what's going to happen here, because they've hit him pretty hard all year long. All right, but tonight, Charlie Morton, 37 years old, looks like he gets in trouble when he's in the stretch, but boy, he's a tough pitcher. Very good, obviously, in the playoffs last year. And then Alex Wood, this is going to be another bullpen game. Who knows how long he's going to go today?
Yeah, I don't know what to put into Wood other than to say that, like, okay, you know, give the Giants two or three innings and show that the slider and the changeup look like something decent. Charlie Morton's a lot of curveballs, highest percentage that he's thrown in his career, and it's as effective as it's ever been for him. The thing that is nice about him from a Braves perspective is he gives you 6 to 7 innings just about every time out. We actually have a thing, like Bill James invented it, called the world's number one starting pitcher. And it tracks pitchers over like years and years and years, and you can slide up or slide down. But the thing that you're looking for to put someone in the top tier is length and excellence. And yes, Charlie Morton's got that ERA of like 3.5, I think. But Charlie Morton's in the top 10 in that Bill James statistical invention. Obviously, you have like Garrett Cole and DeGrom and the Scherzer and the cream of the crop in there, Walker Buehler. But I think he's someone who is somewhat forgotten when it comes to talking about guys that are in that, maybe not ace, but that number one class. He's very, very good. And I will come back to on Hader. You're fair on Hader. Only one blown save all year. I'm still not sure I would completely trust him.
All right. Well, we'll see. We're going to see because they're going to be in. Their magic number is four.
Four walks for nine, too.
Yeah, that's right. Look, none of these guys are locked down closed. We don't have Mariano Rivera here, believe it, or Trevor Hoffman. It's different. Now, we'll see how it plays out in the playoffs. All right, Charlie Morton. If he hits you, and if he hits a batter, you know he's on. It's like the movie Eight Men Out, when Arnold Rothstein goes away and he knows the fix is in when the first batter is hit. Charlie Morton, when he hits you, you know he's on because he will pitch inside. And I think he's one of the leading guys in the league and hit batsmen, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, he's still got a little ways to go to catch Austin Adams and the Padres, yes, who is kind of frightening to try to face. Charlie Morton has led his league in hit by pitch four times, and I think he would this year if not for Adams. He's got 15, which is quite a lot. So you certainly do have to take that into account with him. But based on his closing a World Series and everything else that he's shown the last 4 or 5 years, I would sign up for him every time.
All right. Camilo Doval, he's getting better every time out, and he throws 99 to 100. You love guys like that this time of year. They're young, and they can still throw very hard. Should he be on this playoff roster?
Yeah, I'm starting to lean that way, and it's funny because I never would have thought that, 2 months ago when he was struggling through games. But he's, these last 4 or 5 appearances that he's had since he came back up, he's been lights out. He's been really good, and it makes me think, I think a couple of weeks ago, maybe Jay Jackson's ahead of him on the depth chart. I think Littell's probably ahead of him on the depth chart. But I feel like he's right there. And I don't know how many they carry if they're in a wild card game. You probably only carry one other starting pitcher, and then you probably carry 7 or 8 bullpen arms. So he'd probably be in that. If you go, LDS, you have a lot of lefties. So I would want to have him there to kind of balance out all the lefties that they've got.
Maybe it depends who you play. We'll have to see who they – yeah, that would be exciting.
100 plays versus anyone, though.
Yeah, he's good. No, there's no question he's getting better every time out. What about Logan Webb? We have this discussion all the time. Kevin Gausman, Logan Webb, you got to win one game, and it's the wild card game or game one. Who do you go with?
Boy, I figure if it's the wild card game, that it's certainly an all hands on deck scenario, and that team, whoever the starter is might only go three. I would be. Right now, I'm inclined to say that Logan Webb should be the game-one pitcher. I understand the idea that you're almost certainly going to go with your veteran guy if it's an LDS situation and you have time to set up the rotation because you want your guy to be there. But here's the thing I think that I would think. I want to have the choice if I get to game 5 between I don't know that I necessarily said, but it's an instinctive thing at this point. And you look at the number of consecutive starts he's had in a row that have been really, really good. And Gausman has been up and down, particularly in the second half. The splitter is not necessarily as supremely effective as it was in the first half. I would roll the dice, and I would go – if it's a wild card game, you've got Gausman as a backup in all likelihood. I would go with Logan Webb, and I would see where the chips fall.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I lean that way as well. Webb is pitching now. He's not hoping. He's pitching, where Gausman's still hoping a little bit, I think, when he goes out there. Will the Cardinals hang on here into this thing? We had John Rooney on earlier. Of course, I love talking ball with John. Cardinals look like they put it together.
Yeah, and I think I had picked them to win the NL Central before the year started, and now I feel like I'm somewhat being validated by this team. The roster is just so strong, whether it's Goldschmidt or Arenado or Molina or Wainwright. That's a very deep roster. Goldschmidt's had a pretty good close to the season, 290-ish, 500 slugging, 26 home runs. I think that of them, Cincinnati and San Diego, I would give them the edge right now just because they are so hot. They do seem to have found a closer with Gallegos, even though I said I don't trust him. I feel like it's theirs to lose, and I just feel like the Padres have kind of, say for those two good games against the Giants, the Padres have crumbled way too much.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And the Reds still have good pitching, and they're still a very dangerous team. So we'll see. But the Cardinals look like a team that's ready to start rolling now. Boy, it's a pleasure to talk with you. We've got more to talk about. I thought about you this week with the Mets documentary on ESPN as well. So we'll catch up with that next week. And always a pleasure to talk with you. Thanks, Mark.
I'll give you a three-word review. It was fantastic.
Yeah, I liked it. How do you like Lenny Dykstra?
You know, I alternated between feeling really kind of laughing at him and then kind of feeling sad for him. But there were so many good things in it. Keith Hernandez was fantastic. Bobby Ojeda was really good. It was like the last dance for baseball. So, and it was what it ought to be, I guess is the best way to put it.
Yeah, I liked it too. All right, that's Mark Simon, Sports Info Solutions, Mark A. Simon says on Twitter. More coming up, KMBR 680, 104.5, the sports leader.